Chapter 4, Thinking with the Field in the Great Cycles of Life. Ancient cultures all over the world were fascinated with pineal gland symbolism. Many different spiritual teachings, including secret mystery school traditions, believed the pineal gland acts as a literal third eye in the brain. Recent scientific breakthroughs have determined that there are substantial biological similarities between the retina and the pineal gland. Piezoelectric microcrystals may be transmitting photons that can be picked up by the retina-like tissue in the pineal gland, where they are then sent to the brain and descrambled into visual images. This may be responsible for what we call the mind's eye, such as when we suddenly see a mental image of our friend right before he or she calls us. Clearly, more research is necessary to fully understand how the pineal gland actually works, but we already have some intriguing clues. Either way, in chapters 1 and 2, we found compelling scientific proof that all of nature is in constant telepathic communication through a field that is clearly not electromagnetic. When we combine Dr. William Broad's extensive research with Baxter's breakthroughs, everything we think we know about being living, conscious humans must change. No longer can we see ourselves as separate from our environment. We are fundamentally intertwined with those around us. Whatever we think, they think, and whatever we feel, they feel. Exactly how far can this mind-sharing effect go? Does it only work from one person to another? Does this knowledge have any practical value? Or is it just another piece of weird science? At this point, we may need to consider a shift in perspective. Let's start by asking ourselves this question. What exactly is mind? Even when we discuss the pineal gland, we are still prone to think of the mind as something that exists within each person, where one mind then sends messages to another mind, like a two-way radio. However, what if we're actually all sharing the same mind to some degree, and that mind is far more energetic in nature than what we've been led to believe? Let's go back to Baxter and really think about what he discovered. If the mind is an energetic field, then bacteria could be sharing the same mind as plants. Plants could share the same mind as eggs. Eggs could share the same mind as animals. And all living things may share the same mind with us. When Baxter wanted to burn a leaf, the plant responded. When Baxter started watering a plant, it tracked his movements. Baxter once told me his plants always screamed when one man came into the lab. And this man turned out to mow lawns for a living. When two people meditate together and then go their separate ways, a jolting flash of light in one person's eyes will create an identical brainwave shock in the other person 25% of the time. The Institute of Heart Math showed that when we live together, work together, or have an affinity for each other, we begin synchronizing brainwaves, heartbeat patterns, and other vital signs. Dr. William Broad found that a nervous person could be calmed down by remote influencing. A distracted person could have better concentration and an immediate improvement in mental focus simply by having someone else do the thinking for them at a distance. Thoughts occurring directly in the source field. A September 2010 article in Wired magazine featured a discussion between Kevin Kelly and Steven Johnson on what they called the hive mind. A surprising number of human innovations appear in different people's minds simultaneously, as if we're all using the same energy field to think with. As new ideas are introduced into that energy field, they suddenly become available to everyone. Steven Johnson. Calculus, the electrical battery, the telephone, the steam engine, the radio, all these groundbreaking innovations were hit upon by multiple inventors working in parallel with no knowledge of one another. Kevin Kelly. It's amazing that the myth of the lone genius has persisted for so long, since simultaneous invention has always been the norm, not the exception. Anthropologists have shown that the same inventions tended to crop up in prehistory at roughly similar times, in roughly the same order, among cultures on different continents that couldn't possibly have contacted one another. Gregor Mendel's ideas about genetics, for example. He formulated them in 1865, but they were ignored for 35 years because they were too advanced. Nobody could incorporate them. Then, when the collective mind was ready, and his idea was only one hop away, three different scientists independently rediscovered his work within roughly a year of one another.